Bezer Shem Mizbochim begin Perichamisha, the fifth chapter of the Rambam, Sichas Chevel Amazin, laws of injuries and of monetary damages, and the Sevin Zig in the Book of Damages, which in this parak we continue regarding the halacha of injuries, specifically regarding the prohibition of inflicting an injury and the severity of it. As Rambam begins halacha of regarding the prohibition of hitting someone else. Also, la'odim lachbol, it's forbidden of a person to inflict an injury, bein ba'atzmai, whether in himself, or bein b'chaver, whether in his friend. Now, the lawyer chevel b'vat, it's not only someone who injures a person, anyone who just hits, even without an injury, an upstanding person from the Jewish people, being caught and being gadol, whether a minor, whether an adult, being ish, whether a man or a woman, derech nitzoyin, if it's a way of strife that comes to blows, say he violates a negative prohibition. Shem like says the pasuk in the bottom, lo yosiv v'goyim melahakoyse, you should not increase, etc., to hit him. Which, that's told in the context of someone that's supposed to get 39 lashes. If the Torah is warning from adding on the hitting of a sinner, but that's where they're getting lashes from in the first place, for sure, for a person who's hitting a righteous person, for sure there's a biblical prohibition of injuring, of hitting such a person. Halacha base. Even just to lift up his hand on his friend, also is forbidden. And everyone who does lift up his friend on his friend, lifts up his hand on the friend like to hit him, even if he didn't even hit him, he's a wicked person. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said, which even if he didn't hit him, why you hitting, is already called a Rasha. Locha Gimel. If someone hits his friend, a hit that doesn't have a monetary value of a pruta for compensation, so then he gets lashes because he violates the negative prohibition of Lo Yosef, like we mentioned in Halach Aleph. Shari in kan tashlum, because there's no monetary payment over here. Kadesha yi loves zenit la tashlum, that there should be a negative prohibition that could be given over to monetary compensation, where if, let's say, he hits his friend, that there is some type of compensation, so then we said he's going to pay, he's not going to get lashes, like we said in the previous parak. But here, where there's no monetary compensation of a pruta, he gets lashes. And even if he hits his friend's slave, a hitting that does not have a monetary value of a pruta, look, he gets lashes, shari yishna be mixes mitzvahs, because the slave, even though he's not fully Jewish, he has the mitzvahs like a woman has, and therefore would be qualified for violating this law to get lashes. The goy shikir as yisrael. Now a non-Jew who hits a Jew, chayiv misa, is liable for death penalty. Shemak says in the pasuk in Shemayis, v'yifin koy b'koy b'chulu, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu looked this way and that way, etc. V'yachas a mitzvah, and he hit and he killed the Egyptian because he hit a Jewish person. Halacha dal, regarding the oath that the injured party takes. Now kanes kanzach hachamim, the rabbis penalized to these fools, these strong-armed people, so that the victim should be believed, and he could swear by holding a holy object, that this person injured him this injury, and he could take what's appropriate for him. As long as this witness is over there. How so? What's the case? If two witnesses could testify, that he went into that person's domain intact, and they saw when he came out, he was injured. But they didn't see him when he was injured. If they did, then they would just testify, that would be it. But he says, the guy, this strong-armed person, I didn't injure him. The victim says, no, you injured me. That was the rabbinic penalty, that the guy could swear and he could collect whatever the injuries were. Now, when we say this, that the victim needs to swear, that the wound was in the place where he could have done it himself. Or there was a third party there. That it is possible that the victim said to him to injure him, that he could then complain about the other person. That's when we said, okay, but that the witnesses could say, and he went in and he came out, and we believe him if he swears. But if there was no one else there anyway, and the wound was b'makom shein yochel asbas, and he couldn't have done it himself. Let's say it was bite marks between his shoulders that he can't bite himself there, or something similar like that. Then actually, how does a night to b'leish with, and he actually could collect the compensation even without taking a note, because that's evidence that obviously that other person did it, and there was no one else there. Halach Vav continues regarding what happens if the one who did the injury admits that he did this. So ha'idah ha'chevel shu chavel, if the one inflicted an injury admits that he injured the person, he has to pay the five compensations. Because like we said, there were witnesses over there that this guy went intact during the fight and he came out with all these injuries. So it's not like the guy himself, as his admission is creating that liability. Because even if he didn't admit, like we said in the previous halacha, he would have to pay. So therefore, he has to pay all five penalties, all five payments. But let's say there was no witnesses there at all. And Hoyim says, Chaval to me, you injured me. And he admits on his own, then actually put him in a nezek. He's actually going to be exempt from the damages. Because if he cut off his hand, the payment, as we said in Perek Alf, Halacha Beis, is as if he was a slave that was being sold in the marketplace, when the truth is, the injured party would never agree, I don't care how much money in the world, for his hand to be cut off. So obviously the payment of the damages is always going to be less than the actual true value of the damages. Therefore, that's going to be categorized as knas. Knas is the halachic qualification of something that's not the exact amount. So therefore, nezik, in this case, really is a knas, and moedib knas is pater. And so too, minatzar is going to be exempt from the pain compensation, because that's not actual monies that you're making him lose. So obviously it's not considered mammon, rather it's considered as knas. Because mammon is only exactly how much you made him lose, and here tzar is not an actual physical thing. But v'chai b'shedes, he'll be liable for the amount of loss of work and for the shame and for the doctor bills. I'll pay asma when he admits on his own. Lafikach, therefore, because that's actual money that he lost, doctor bills and that of work. So lafikach, therefore, since he's liable for these things when he admits on his own, if he denies and he says, I did not injure, so the nishbish has to, then he has to take a rabbinic oath because he's denying money, like when someone makes a total denial of a monetary claim, without holding a holy object, he has to take that rabbinic oath. Now, why does he have to pay these three things when he admits on his own, in contrast to those other two things? Because loss of work and the doctor bills, some mamanu, that's money, and not penalty. Because if he's not going to give it to him, so he's causing an actual loss of money, where he has to heal himself, and he's going to lose that work. So that's a bona fide mammon claim, which... Yeah, that's not that if someone agrees to a monetary claim, he has to pay, in contrast like knas. Now, what's a v'habayisha regarding shame? That's not actual money. That's like similar to tzar. Why is he chayef v'izmoida? So he explains, lo higia loy, the person only, the victim only gets it, only when he admits in front of us that he actually injured him. Because the truth is, the injury that he did to him, if it wasn't in front of anyone else, so there was no shame, there's no embarrassment, no one saw what happened, that he beat him up. So actually, for that is not why he's getting the bishes, but it's rather, it's actually when he admits in court, says, yeah, I knocked him silly. Oh, now he's embarrassed. So that actually is in public, so therefore, but it is based on the original act, so there was something that was done to him, and therefore, in the combination of the two, is why he's actually liable when he admits, because not really, it's really the fact that it's not his admission per se, but it's actually this, now the shame is happening actually now, and that for that shaming is what he's liable for. Halacha ches nimtzei salamet. So it comes out that you learn shei nefesh b'voishes. There's no differentiation regarding shame. Bein voishes amegiyaloi, whether it's something, the embarrassment that he's getting im chavul b'bifnei achem, if he actually injures him in front of other people, which obviously he's getting embarrassed. Ubein voishes amegiyaloi beisha hoyd b'bifnei achem shachavul, or whether the shame that the person's getting when the guy admits in front of others, says yeah that he injured him. Therefore, mashal modim voishal peyatzim. Therefore, a person could pay the embarrassment based on his own admission, because that's the shame that he's getting right now in front of witnesses that he actually beat him up. Halacha test. The differentiation between the monetary damages and the physical damages. So in the dem mazik chaver begufa, you cannot compare someone who harms his friend with his body, lamazik mamani, to someone who damages his money. Where shamazik mamach chaver, if someone damages a person's monies, once he pays up what he has to pay, in the scapula, he's already atoned for what he had done wrong. But if he injures the person's body, although he already gave him the five types of compensations, he's not going to get an atonement. And if he's going to sacrifice all the rams of Nevois, which were these expensive, high quality animals as great karbanos, he's not going to get an atonement. His sin's is not going to be forgiven. Until he asks forgiveness from the victim, and he forgives him, only then does he get atonement. Now, Allah Yud, but Asala Nirbaliyas Akhzahi Balayimchal. It's forbidden for the victim to be cruel and not forgive him. So that's not the way of the Jewish children. Rather, once the perpetrator asks from him and he supplicates to him, one time, two times, and he knows that the person repented from his sins, and he regrets what he did wrong, he should forgive him. V'chalamamar, Limchel Web is quick to forgive and pardon. Harei Meshubach, he's praiseworthy. Beruach Chacham Noichem, and the spirit of the sages is pleased with such a person. There's another differentiation between harming a person's body and his money. Because someone says to his friend, Sami Yaseini, blind out my eye, cut his yodi, cut off my hand. On the condition that you're going to be exempt. No, he's going to be liable for the five types of compensations. It's well known, whatever, he's playing around with him, but it's well known that the person does not want this and you're going to be chayv no matter what. Someone says to his friend, Kiras Kisusi, tear my garment, Shabbos Keadi, break my jog, Amenashat the pot on the condition that you can be exempt, Areza pot, and actually he will be exempt. And we don't say that, oh, he was just joking around with him. No, because a person would be pardoning sometimes for his monies. Now, Vem Loyam, but if he didn't tell him, Amenashat the pot on the condition that you're exempt, does he actually have to pay for even tearing his garment or breaking his jug? Although he gave him permission to destroy it, because he could say, yeah, I gave you permission, but you still have to pay. Now, Halachit Beis qualifies this, but remember, when we say this, that he has to pay, if he did not explicitly tell him on the condition that you give me potter, is only if this perpetrator, that these vessels that he has of that other person initially came to him through the medium of a guardianship, where the Torah obligates him from negligence. For example, let's say he had borrowed it or was deposited him to watch it, and then the owner says to him, look, break it, tear it, he does that, then he's going to have to pay, because since he was a shamer on the vessel, he's not going to be exempt until he's told explicitly on the condition that you're going to be potter. Until he tells him, on the condition that you're going to be exempt. But that's only in such a case that he was a shamer. Tells him, no, he's not a shame. He says, he takes from his house, he says, take this vessel and break it. Beg it, zekroi, this garment and tear it. And he does this, or he's a potter, then he's going to be exempt because he never had accepted a responsibility of shmira, and for the actual act of breaking, he's not going to be liable because that was done with the permission of the owner. Halacha Gimel concludes regarding if someone actually appoints someone else to damage. If someone says to his friend, Shabri Caleb Shalplaini, go ahead and break that person's vessels, Amanashat the potter, on the condition that you'll be exempt, because in other words, I'll pay in your place. Thus, and that guy does it, that guy who did the damage, he has to pay. It's as if he told him, blind out the eye of that person on the condition that you're exempt. Of course, that would not exempt him. Now, although the guy who actually did it is going to be liable to pay, but the one who told him to do it, who says, don't worry, I'll take care of it, Shutafi Ba'avan, he's a partner in the sin, Barashuhu, and he's a wicked person, Shadihikshul Iver, because he caused a stumbling for a blind person, which is the term of the Pasik, but it means to say that he caused someone who is unwitting to go ahead and stumble in sin. The Chizikidei Averver, and he was supporting this hand of those who commit sins, where although he didn't do it, but he egged him on, he provoked him, and therefore he's also a partner in the sin, although he's not the one that's liable for the monetary payment.